we turn to the ongoing crisis on our border, on June 20th, the Trump administration officially ended its zero-tolerance policy that resulted in thousands of families being separated as they crossed the border into the U.S. But a new investigation from ProPublica finds that the Trump administration has quietly resumed the practice, using vague or unsubstantiated allegations against the parents as justification. Catholic Charities in New York has discovered at least 16 new separation cases in just the last few months, and it wasn't very difficult for ProPublica reporter Ginger Thompson to find another. I spoke with her more about the story earlier this morning via Skype and asked her why this is still being allowed even after the administration's zero tolerance policy was ended.
So in the order, in the court's order that ended the zero tolerance policy or ordered the administration to end the zero tolerance policy, the judge allowed for an exemption. He allowed the administration to continue separating children in the cases where the safety of the child was at stake or was at risk, right? And so where parents were deemed somehow dangerous to their children. Right. And so using that exemption, the administration has said that it's continued to do some separations.
Right. And Catholic Charities is telling you here that they found 16 new cases. Tell us about those. So what is the evidence in those cases that the parents should be separated from their kids?
Well, so what Catholic Charities says is that it's unclear, really, what the evidence is. All they know is they've seen over the last 3 months, at least 16 new cases of children who've come in who were separated from their parents. In at least 8 of those cases that Catholic Charities has been able to sort of gather some information on them, it seems that the parents in at least 8 of the cases had been charged with illegal reentry, in other words, entering the country illegally more than once. Mm-hmm. And in the other, there's one case where a parent was hospitalized, and so her child was taken from her. She was separated from her child. And then in the other cases, the evidence is basically vague and it's unsubstantiated. And Catholic Charities is concerned because they're not told, first of all, that children are being separated. They found these 16 cases on their own. These 16 cases, these children didn't come to New York with records indicating that they had been separated from their parents, much less any information that indicated why the separation had occurred. And so these decisions about separating children are happening without any oversight and without any review by judges to make sure that these judgments and these decisions are correct.
Right. So that's the number that Catholic Charities in New York has found or can find. Is there evidence that this could still be happening on a larger scale than that?
Well, I think the case that I found is what is troubling to immigrant attorneys and advocates. I found a case by chance on my own of a 4-year-old boy named Brian who had been separated from his father at the border in Texas in September. And the father was put into a detention facility in South Texas and the child was sent to New York. And I called Catholic Charities asking whether they knew of this child, and the attorney there, the lead attorney who represents most of these children, said to me, yes, I know of this child, but I didn't know that this child had been separated from their father. Mm-hmm. And it made, you know, the attorneys at Catholic Charities concerned that there could be more children in their care that have been separated from their parents, and they're not aware of those cases. The Border Patrol hasn't said how many children. It's not telling, certainly didn't tell me, it's not telling the advocates, it's not telling the attorneys or the social workers who are charged with caring for these kids, who these kids are, that they've been separated, how many of them there are. And so that's why, you know, the case that I found suggests that there are cases out there that we still don't know about.
Right. What is CBP telling you about this if they won't tell you that? What kind of response have they had to what you're reporting here?
So what the CBP has said is that in cases like the one that I wrote about this young boy named Brian, you know, they say that in his case, they have evidence that his father is a member of a gang. However, they've never produced any bit of that evidence to me, to his attorney, or to an immigration judge in a court where this father appeared on Tuesday. So, you know, it raises questions about how strong that evidence is. And it also means that this father is really unable to fight these allegations because he doesn't know what they're based on. His attorney presented, you know, statements and all kinds of evidence from El Salvador indicating that he was not a gang member, but the government still hasn't come forward with what information they say they have to indicate that he is.
Yeah. So what happens next in cases like this and in these 16 that we know about? Are they going to be stuck in court or without the same kind of public pressure that was on the administration to end this policy initially? Could they remain separated?
Well, it's unclear. I think in the case of the little boy that I wrote about, Brian, his father is scheduled to be released from detention today. So while the administration calls him a dangerous gang member, so dangerous that they separated him from his child, an immigration judge has said he should be released on bond and allowed to pursue his asylum claim.
Right.
And he will likely be reunited with this boy soon. And so, again, it raises the question about how appropriate this separation was in the first place. Was this really about protecting this child? Was it about trying to persuade parents like this one not to come in the first place? Is this a move aimed at deterring families like this from coming to the United States, from pursuing asylum, more than it is about protecting the safety of the child?
All right. That's Ginger Thompson, senior reporter with ProPublica. Ginger, thank you for joining us to tell us about this morning.
Thank you for having me.